Penny C, I don't hear you. Star one to unmute, Penny.
Here I am again. I started before. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Penny C, and I am recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 12, starting with the second paragraph my friend suggested, and we'll be reading and commenting through two paragraphs, ending with, I stood in the sunlight at last. Today's readers are Martha S. for the 12 Steps, Chrissy Jane K. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text will be Leslie W., Liat T.D., and Pia S. The reference numbers, I have three for you. From yesterday, Tuesday, March 5th, the 7 a.m. meeting was 12,621, 12621. The 10 a.m. yesterday, Tuesday, March 5th, the share code is 12622. And for this morning, Wednesday, March 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12,629, 12629. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is this. Tradition 5 of OA says, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Martha S. to read the 12 steps for us. Martha?
Good morning. This is Martha S. in upstate New York, compulsive overeater. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Martha S. Now I'm going to ask Chrissy Jane K. to read the 12 traditions for us. Chrissy Jane K.
The, Chrissy Jane, the 12 traditions.
There you are. Thank you.
Chrissy Jane, a compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication, like YouTube. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I humbly pass. And thank you for letting me do service this month.
Thank you, Chrissy Jane. Hey, appreciate that. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep that sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 12, second paragraph, which starts with "my friend suggested," and we're going to read through two paragraphs, ending with "I stood in the sunlight at last." Comments will be taken on both paragraphs. And to start us off this morning doing the reading, I'm going to call on Leslie W. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Penny. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. Okay. So here we see Bill being challenged. He's had a conception up until this point that was given to him by other people. But what Eddie is challenging him to do is to come up with his own conception. What does he want in a relationship with his higher power? And when I first read this, you know, I mean, I grew up in South Georgia, was raised in a Southern Baptist church. The thought of this choose your own adventure kind of a God thing just seemed really, really out of the realm for me. I couldn't make a list. You know, I had a hard time sitting down. I mean, my first sponsor that I ever had in this program told me to sit down and make a wish list of what, you know, I wanted God to be. And I felt like going, well, I can't really do that. I mean, I don't invent that, who God is. I mean, God is who he is. And I didn't understand that for me, it was a matter of challenging my own beliefs about God. Really looking at what do I believe versus what I've been told to believe. I realized that I had been living a lie when it came to my faith. And what I mean by that is I said I believed in God, but I didn't really trust him and I didn't really have a relationship with him. And I certainly didn't think that he cared about the food that I put on my plate. I certainly didn't think that he could help me with my compulsive overeating. And so when I read this and I had to think about this, it was actually harder for me, I think, coming from a religious background versus not coming from a religious background. I didn't have a clean slate. I had a slate that was already written upon that I had to erase and then rewrite. So I had to have this experience of really trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I believe? What do I believe about who God is or who my higher power is versus who he isn't? And what does he need to be in order for me to recover from this disease? And that is where I think step two really begins. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leslie W. All right, we're ready to take some names who would like to share. Please just say your first name only, and I'll try my best to hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Des M.
Is it Roz?
Des, D-E-Z.
D-E-Z-M, okay. Who else?
Joanne B.
Joanne.
Shawnee.
Yes, in Florida.
And who's from Florida?
Pia S.
Pia.
Shawnee.
Rebecca T.
Hold on just a minute. Okay. Last one I got was PRS.
Patty T.
Did you?
Eddie.
Shawnee.
I got Shawnee. And then did I hear a man's voice?
Yeah, Bruce E.
That's enough for now, okay, please? This is the lineup I have. Leslie W., Des M., Joanne B., Shawnee, I'm going to ask you to give me your initial of your last name when you speak, Pia S., Patty C., and Bruce E. So we'll start with Des M., followed by Joanne B. Good morning, Des.
Good morning. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from California, and I'm so grateful to be on the line and in a meeting this morning. I am so glad I dialed in a couple minutes early and got to hear a little singing. I really appreciated that, and it started my day off well. You know, there is recovery in these rooms. And I love these paragraphs, you know, that we're not forced into a solution, and we get to have choices and develop this, like, relationship with our own higher power, you know, which I choose to call God, spirit of the universe, creator, all of those things. And I really like, too, the icy intellectual mountain. Man, like I had many icy intellectual mountains and molehills and conceptions of what I thought would work and wouldn't work. And, you know, in this program, like my sponsor is so wonderful. Like she gives suggestions and direction to go to my higher power, you know. So when I was like creating a list of my alcoholic foods, of my compulsive eating behaviors, it was me checking in with my conception of my higher power, something greater than me, to see like what resonated, you know, what should I recoil from, like a hot flame, like what can I touch so that I can get this spiritual solution. And I'm so grateful because now I get to, you know, walk with other fellows in this program and like get to not direct and like tell them what type of God or food plan or abstinence or anything, but you know, tell them what I've been told, and which is entire abstinence and working the steps, and like has given me the spiritual solution. And I really like what I heard already this morning. Like I get to know who my higher power is and who my higher power isn't, you know. And right now I'm working on my higher power isn't something that expects me to be perfect. I'm walking in new ground of getting to sponsor and having a full plate of sponsees, and like letting God guide that. So I'm just so grateful to be here, to be recovered, and I'm so grateful for everyone's service. So have a beautiful day. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Desem. Joanne B., and you'll be followed by Shawnee.
Thank you. This is Joanne B. from Texas. For me as a believer, the statement, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" was just very liberating, because as a woman with an alcoholic mind, you know, being an overeater, it was always my duty to people please. I was too afraid to trust my own ideas of God as if they were different from those who seemed wiser or who had authority over me or something like that. And although I wanted to be able to be true to myself, I didn't really know how to be. And so reading this concept the first time gave me permission to have a little faith in the truth that my Creator gave me a mind to think. And thus I was able to lean into Him and rest and wait on Him as He grew and changed me and continues to do that, changing me into what He wants me to be. And anyway, I'm so grateful that He has brought me freedom through this program, and that one of our fellows had directed me to this particular OA group. And I'm just tremendously grateful to have the recovery that I have today, and I look forward to having better recovery. And thank you so much for all that you do. Everyone on this line, you encourage me every day. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Shawnee, you'll give me your initial of your last name, please.
Hi, my initial is B, B as in boy.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me on the line this morning. I always feel extremely humbled to be able to share. My conception of God was always just very, like, this is whatever my reality is. This is, like, what God wanted for me. And, you know, He kind of sucks because it's a really sucky reality that I was living in. But I grew up in a religious home, and it is what it is kind of thing. When I started to work the steps of this program, I kind of was, like, desperate enough that I didn't really care, you know, because I was like, it doesn't matter what God or what, you know, it was like, I just need to get skinny. And so it didn't really matter to me, you know, like this part, because I'll believe in anyone's God. I just want to get skinny. But what has happened to me through working these steps is I have a new conception of this higher power that I call God. And, you know, I was just thinking about this morning. Every morning I wake up and I have, like, so much fear in me. Like, a million things come up and I'm like, oh, my God. And there's been this small shift. It's almost like I can almost, like, not feel it. But if I tap into it, I can. Knowing that there is, my higher power has given me these fears this morning to reconnect to him and to surrender to him and to see what amazing blessings are out there for me. And I was like thinking about this morning and I was like, oh my God, like I've always been like this, you know, like self-help junkie. Like my whole family's always like, I'm always like looking for the next thing, the next high, you know, how to be happy. And this really is starting to bring me a sense of serenity, which for me means happiness. So yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Pia S., it's your turn.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Penny?
Good morning, yeah.
Yeah, this is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And so I'm just, you know, blown away by the shares this morning, just hearing so much great stuff. And I thought about, you know, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And I was, you know, when I grew up, I was sent to Sunday school, but my parents never went to church. So I got this very strange upbringing when it comes to religion. And where I come from, the church and the state was actually together, but recently they've been separated. So when they talk about here that I can choose to believe, you know, in my own conception, it's so freeing because I can choose to believe in a power that is greater than myself that can solve all my problems. And it's a loving force that I choose to seek. My God has to be bigger than my problems, or I'm not going to trust that he can help me. And what happened to me is that I found that I have come back to the person who I really am. Under the layers of food and under the destructive behaviors, there is a person I always knew existed, but I couldn't reach. And I was blocked from that power within me. But abstinence and the 12 steps has made me ready to receive God's grace. I have found the light within me, and I'm using it to try to perform what I believe is God's will for me. My purpose is to shine a light on a path that leads to recovery for others to follow. So I'm just so grateful that I am, you know, that I can just enlarge, like I can make God as big as I want, and I can, you know, put all of these great qualities to my God. And when I wake up in the morning, I just, you know, pray to God and ask him for the strength to do what I believe is his will for me and to take action. And yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia S. Patty C.
Hi, good morning. It's actually Patty T, like tomato.
Like tomato. I love tomatoes. Thank you.
So, hi, everybody. You know, I really love this short two-paragraph. Boy, oh, boy. First of all, the word novel, I looked it up, and it means innovative, unique, untraditional, unconventional, untried, unused, unworn, path-breaking, pioneering, trailblazing. So, gosh, when I think of what a novel idea, you know, because I too grew up in a very religious, you know, area, but the culture was also very racist and segregated. And so the religion I grew up around had a lot of rules around who could be a part of that. And that didn't sit with me, just with instinctively. It just didn't sit with me because, you know, it just didn't make sense. And so, you know, I was afraid, though, to not believe, as I'd been taught, because I'd been taught that if I didn't believe in that thing, you know, in that God, in the way that God manifested, that I would go to hell. And, oh, my goodness, that's the last thing I wanted, right? But, and so as I continued to get older, you know, I realized that I didn't really have any faith in that particular higher power. And I sought other religions and practices and realized that only when I got into Overeaters Anonymous that the reason those didn't work for me either was because of my very black and white thinking. Not that God is or isn't, right? But that I have to believe in God this way or that way. And when I first read this, Why Don't You Choose Your Own Conception of God? It was just like, oh, right. Because religions are the manifestations of the spiritual set up by men, right? So if that's true, I can't have my own God, my own higher power, my own concept of that. And this practice, this OA has really shown me how to
Can somebody get this crazy lady off the line? She's talking like a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, shut up.
Exactly.
I've really been able to embrace this power. This power that I can't touch or see or smell any other way except through faith. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Sorry for that interruption.
I bet you never said that at the dinner table in your life. You never said I'll pass at the...
Okay, Bruce E., are you there, Bruce?
I'm here. Yeah, thank you. Bruce E., recovering in Florida. And... yeah, man, this is hot stuff here. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? Well, what I'm thinking about here is that I thought I had a conception of God. Well, I must have had a misconception of God then, because it wasn't working for me. I'm a chronic slipper, you know, more than 25 years of just getting a week, you know, trying to put... Last year before Vision, I was trying to put 2 weeks together. Couldn't even put 2 weeks together. So I must have had a misconception. So my sponsor said, well, God's not like a genie. You pull him out of the bottle, you know, you ask a couple questions, you ask a couple of things and, you know, put them back in the bottle. Or like Santa Claus or the mailman, you know. So I'd been wanting God to be a genie, Santa Claus or the mailman, you know, I was thinking here, all I got to do is sit around the house and wait for the mail to come, go out, and there's a check in the mail, you know, every day. So it doesn't work that way. And I had to put legs on my prayers. You know, I had to get up and start doing something, like working these steps and having a sponsor. And so that's what I've had to do, is to just look at the higher power I already had and see how healthy were those ideas and choose to get some other ideas, and the power would come in. So I was losing the power to the food, you know. I had power and I was losing it to the food. And then I finally started putting the food down. Some of the power started coming back. It says here, it melted the icy intellectual mountain and whose shadow I had. I kind of had a egotistical mountain in a prejudice mountain, you know, and that mountain needed to be, I didn't know I had it, you know, I didn't know a lot of that, and that ego and that pride and that intellectualism, that had to be melted away, like what Bill's talking about here. He shivered in that for many years, stood in the sunlight at last, sunlight starting to come in. I think maybe a little bit every day as I work this program, the sunlight comes in. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. And before I take another list of names who'd like to share, let me remind anyone who may have come in a little late that we're on page 12, the second paragraph that starts with "my friend suggested." We're reading two paragraphs and commenting on both. All right, I'm ready to take more names. Who else would like to share?
Donna
R.
No,
Rachel A.
Please tell me who's initial O and then E.
It was Gina R.
And Donna B.
And Nirvana
G.
All right, I have Donna, Gina, Laura. Who did I miss? Say that again.
Sherry KB.
Sherry.
Sherry KB.
AB.
Nadia T.
G.
Nadia.
Martha F.
And Martha. Okay, let's.
Lydia T.
All right, I'll take whoever's last initial is T, and we'll see if we haven't. I think we'll have enough time.
That was Lydia.
Lydia, okay. Let's see if we have
any.
Okay. Please give me the initial of your last name when I call on you because I missed some of them. Let's start with Donna D.
Hi, this is Donna B, as in boy, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. This word conception, I have a note here that says a beginning idea, a starting point. The word conception means a lot to me. I am a person who had 5 miscarriages, and thank God 2 healthy pregnancies and children. But for many, many years, I desperately wanted to conceive and went to any lengths to conceive. Pills, shots, doctors, every conceivable option available to me, I went through. So for me, I say the set-aside prayer, to set aside everything I think I know about what God is over and over and over again, so that each day I can have a new conception, a new beginning of God. There's in the agnostics there's a part that talks about God being near. So one of my prayers in the morning is, God, please take me to near, as if near is a place that I can get to, where I can continue to build on my conception of God and to continue to build on my relationship with God. I've been asked by sponsees in the past if I have a concept of God, and I don't have a concept of God. I'm okay with mystery. I'm okay with not knowing what God is. But I do have an experience of God. Every morning, I get on my knees and I ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And every night, I get on my knees and I thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. That to me is an experience of God working in my life. And as I pray throughout the day, I continue to have experiences of God in other areas of my life. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Donna D. And next is Gina R., and she'll be followed by Laura. Gina?
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I live in Green Valley, Arizona. What just jumped out for me this morning was actually what is called a homophone. And it's the word choose, C-H-O-O-S-E, versus choose, C-H-E-W-S. And I just got flooded with the reality of how I have mixed up those meanings in my actions. So a homophone is two words that are pronounced the same way but are spelled differently, and they have different meanings, usually unrelated. But I see here that there's some interesting things here. So when I think of chews, like chewing my food all the time, and how that kept me from truly being open to a conception of God, you know, it sounds simple, but it means to grind something between someone's teeth, to break it up, to masticate it, to basically tear it apart. And that's what I had done with my belief in a higher power and in God. I could not release the stranglehold I had on believing that it wouldn't work for me, that there were so many things about me that were either wrong or that I did wrong, that it couldn't work for me. But now, gratefully, through this experience, the word choose, C-H-O-O-S-E, means to pick one thing over another, select something from a group of things. And when I laid down the food, it opened up space in my mind, heart, and soul to actually be available to understand that there were some actual choices. And I was able to think about, what is it I enjoy? That was one of the things my guide asked me to do. Make a list of things you like to do. At the very beginning, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because I was so enmeshed in a very narrow life of bondage to the food and basically work. I was a workaholic. That was all I could see. But as I continue to yield myself to these simple instructions and keep my channel clear, then I was truly able to receive the idea of choose. And I'm so, so happy and so filled with joy this morning to know that God is using me as an instrument to bring that to others. And it's not really about knowing anything. It's about my actual experience. And I'm grateful for everybody who shares on this line, and welcome to the newcomer. You are able to choose, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina. Laura, and then Sherry KB. Laura? Laura, we can't hear you if you're speaking. Well, let's go on to Sherry KB then, and we'll come back to Laura. Sherry?
Good morning, Penny. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. I heard so many people on the line, I thought I'd just let somebody else go. that's new. I tried to text, but couldn't get through. But I guess I'll go ahead and go. And I'm sharing, I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, constructively looking at this. I just know that this is one of the most important sentences in this book, because without having that conception of a higher power, I will not get the work done. If I don't put the food down and open up my mind and heart to a power greater than myself that can come in my life, because working the steps to me gets me unblocked so I can connect with that higher power who's going to be with me one day at a time for the rest of my life, because I do believe that my higher power is in these steps. And so I need to come up with something that I can trust and I can believe in, and that I'm going to be leaning on one day at a time for the rest of my life to get me through all my problems instead of turning to the food. So that's why, to me, this is one of the most important sentences in this book, because I get to lay aside my old prejudices, my old ideas, and my old concepts. And that's including whatever beliefs that didn't work for me around a power greater than myself that I choose to call God. And when I work with people, I'm constantly drilling to them, you know, your full reliance needs to be on a higher power and not on me or anyone else. You can get support from other people, which is very important, and the fellows and your step guide, your sponsor, but your full reliance needs to be on a power greater than yourself. And I believe that for myself. So I know that I need to come up with a God that's going to work for me in my life, but is that I continue to enlarge my spiritual life with, because my higher power is going to help me solve all my problems. Because from here on out, I'm not going to be running the Sherry Show. I'm going to be working with that higher power, holding me, nurturing me, comforting me, because I'm addicted to ease and comfort. So I need, instead of finding it in the food, I need to find it in a power greater than myself. So that's why I need to find that my own conception, not your conception, but my own conception, the language of my own heart. And so I've got to come up with something that can define how I feel about a power greater than myself, not the one that somebody told me how to have at a house of worship, not you telling me how I should have it, but how I find it in my heart. It is the language of my own heart. And I love this sentence. I absolutely love this sentence and paragraph. And it does melt away those old ideas, those old prejudices, when I know that there's something greater than me at work here that can restore me to sanity, especially around the food. And the only way for me to get that is to put the food down, to work the steps so I can get unblocked and connect with this amazing power that I choose to call God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And I'm trying for Laura again. Laura, did you come back? Okay, let's go on to Nadia, followed by Martha. Nadia? Nadia? Okay, how about Martha?
Good morning. This is Martha S., a compulsive overeater in upstate New York. Thank you for your service, Penny. So the first time through the steps in OA for me 4 years ago, through the big book, I didn't spend much time on choosing my own conception of my higher power. I kind of skipped my way through that. I did come in as an agnostic. I understood step two to be a willingness to keep an open mind about the fact that a higher power had helped other people with their compulsive eating. And so I was willing to keep an open mind. But for me, I had to have an experience of the steps, as has been shared. I had experience what my own higher power felt like to me. And that helped. That seemed sufficient and helped me stay abstinent in what I felt was recovered for several years. But then I had a brief relapse, quite powerful relapse in October, and am now on steps 10, 11, and 12 again. But this time through the steps again with a big book guide, step two, choosing my own conception of a higher power, was much more powerful for me this time around. You know, if whatever conception I can come up with in my own little mind is not going to really be my higher power, because if I can imagine in my mind what my higher power is and understand my higher power in my mind, then it's not greater than my mind. So it's not higher than my mind. I learned that from another fellow, and I found that really helpful. But the Big Book does encourage us to start off with some conception of our own, however inadequate it tells us in We Agnostics. So that was helpful to me this time around, to have some conception of what my higher power means to me that's personal to me, so that I have an entity, a power, a source of power that I am praying to when I'm praying, that I'm, and this is very helpful to me. And that second paragraph, it melted the icy intellectual mountain. I think I was always sort of an icy intellectual my whole life, and so this program has really helped me move by doing the work of the steps, by experiencing the steps, move me into the sunlight at last. And although I can't say I'm recovered right now because for different reasons, I'm grateful to have to be in the program and to be able to be of service. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha S. Lydia T. Lydia?
Hi, this is Lydia, grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Marquette, Michigan. I just wanted to, choose your own conception of God. I always knew there was a God. I just didn't think he was for me. I just thought God was for other people. You know, I would see God and know that there was something out there. And so I don't even know if I called myself an agnostic. I don't know what I was, but I knew there was a God. But like I said, it was always just for other people, never for me. So I decided, going through the steps that, I was just going to have God be a healing power, and it's greater than myself, and he is greater than me, and he can help me. And if I rely on him, he will do for me what I've never been able to do for myself. And being willing and open, I feel every day my conception of God, grows and changes. Every day that I pray and meditate, I get, closer and feel him within me. Guiding me to do the things that I need to do, they say thy will be done. If I remain open and do his will, and, when I first started, I couldn't imagine thinking about sponsoring others, like that would be way too much work. And where would I find the time? But by being open and being willing, that is becoming one of the greatest gifts. I didn't realize how wonderful that part of the program would be, that which scared me the most. And I just really am so grateful that, I had a sponsor that led me through and still leads me and keeps me, open and willing. I don't rely on her. I, as my higher power, because that's what I used to always do, is put people in the position of a higher power. And then somehow something would fail, or I would fail, or they would fail. And, of course, then my whole life was terrible, ruined, over. But now that I have this, my own conception, and I'm putting all my reliance on my higher power, on my God, it's a whole new world. I just feel so grateful and blessed to be a part of this program of OA, and to be able to listen to these meetings every day. And with that, I just want to thank everybody for your service and allowing me to share today. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this book is just amazing. Every time I read it and hear a different part, I hear something new. But with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia T. And we have 1 minute left. I'm going to just take it very quickly, if you indulge me. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, I was so pleased to hear choose your own conception. So, I hear people say, I got a new God. Well, my God, for me, my thought is that God never changes. God's the same God that I grew up with, who I thought was punishing, kept score. And even as a young child, first grade, I was keeping track of how many good deeds I could do and earn, so that I could earn God's love and protection. And for those who might remember, I did things and said prayers that would give me indulgences. And, oh, my gosh. And then finally someone said to me, you know, God doesn't keep score. God just loves you. Get a God who loves you all the time. And that's who I have today. And with that, I pass. And we are now going to close the meeting. Thank you, everybody who helped out today. Martha S., Chrissy Ann J., Leslie W., Liat TD, Pia, who was there in the on deck waiting to see if we needed her. And what we're going to do now is close with a reading from page 164, and Liat's going to do that. Liat TD, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great factor of abandon yourself to God as you understand him, God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.